Any questions regards his footnotes or to the supplemental schedule? Yeah, I went through that pretty
yeah.
quick, but that.
Yes, Paulina.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Thank you. And I know we shouldn't waste time on figuring out where the numbers come from. This is not where the appropriate venue for this. But just because you said that we should be very well versed in the pension plan numbers, but in fact, this is the purview of a different subcommittee that was recently formed, so we're not aware of them. Where does this 300,000 number come from? Where it says pension plans, then it breaks it down per radio station, right? Among the five, then the national office, the radio archives, and the estimated late filing penalties, assessments, and interest are the same
looks like,
for
it
both
looks like
years.
You're talking about footnote.
Yeah, I'm talking about the pension plans on page. Sorry, on page. Base 21, correct, where there's a number of 300,000, which is the round number, for both years, 2016 and 2017. Do you know where that number comes from? That's all I have.
This number is I was just going to say, this number is an estimate, and this footnote really and truly, when we're talking about pension plans, is a big part of why we weren't able to give a clean opinion in this year, as well as why your prior auditor wasn't able to give a clean opinion.
Right.
So this is an estimate, because I think part of what has gotten you involved with the Department of Labor and having these audits is because things weren't filed timely with the Department of Labor as they're required, and there are penalties and things that are being assessed and being determined as part of that audit, but those numbers are not final numbers at this point that we could audit as part of our audit. So these are the estimates that were provided to us or have been provided to management in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Right. So would you say it's correct to state that this is the main issue in terms of us getting that opinion that the auditors were able to provide the pension plans is the stone in our on our way, so to speak.
In our shoe.
I think the pension plan certainly is the most obvious one, and it's probably the it sounds like as you guys have gone through these last few years or couple of years with that pension audit and working with that firm and the Department of Labor to resolve it, that will definitely move things in a very positive direction to be able to get something other than a disclaimer opinion in the future. But I hate to discount the fact that, you know, the documentation in so many different areas of the accounting were lacking. And that, you know, as I mentioned, George and his group, they did a great job trying to piece things together, but there really wasn't always the best or the most complete support for them as they were going through things. And I mean, obviously they provided us everything that they had. So I would say, you know, if it was one or the other, maybe we would have had a scope qualification, but I think the two together, the pension plan and the lack of documentation, really probably put us over into the disclaimer opinion. But I think where you're ultimately getting with this, I think as the audit opinion for the pension plan, as that's resolved and we have numbers that we can audit and corroborate, and then I think with the plans that need any TA has in place for improving the environment and the accounting function, I think you guys definitely are headed in the right direction to get away from this type of opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
A question, Marilyn?
Sure.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Marilyn.
Marilyn. Yeah. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Okay, on page 18, the operating leases continued. For the year 2018, they're really huge amounts. Then it's regular building up, but then thereafter it's $1,113,524. That doesn't mean per year, does it? or what does that mean? What is the source of the extremely large expenses last year, 2018, projected? And then thereafter, what is the meaning of the numbers in those countries?
I think 2018 really gets to your situation in New York. I think the towers, I think that's why you see such a big number there. I think as that situation kind of worked itself out through the settlement that you had, I think that's where you see that number, particularly for towers, drop off for 19 forward. The thereafter line item, the thereafter actually is multiple years. This footnote is required to show 5 years, and then beyond the 5 years, we kind of consolidated into a thereafter row. So maybe that's a little misleading that you're seeing these numbers that are in the 150 range and then it jumps up. But that's not 980 for 1 year. That's 980 for multiple years.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Thank you.
That helps. Sure.
Thank you.
Okay.
Julie,
any
to the stack?
All right. Go ahead, Julie.
So I'm looking at note 12 on page 25. And there you talk about, lastly, the foundation prepared a financial recovery and stabilization plan. And that was an important part of this note. Is that the thing that Maxie drafted?
I believe so, yes.
It should be.
Thanks.
Yeah, this the content of that footnote and footnote 13 are primarily provided by management. So absolutely, that's not something that we're drafting. So it should be the same thing that was circulated to you that you're talking about.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yes, Paulina.
Go ahead, Paulina.
I have no problem with signing off on this audit, but I do have a very serious issue with the fact that we as the audit committee have no access to what is going on with the pension audit. So I move that this committee request information from the subcommittee that is handling the pension audit, that information about how this audit is proceeding, as well as all the information from the auditors and the relevant information from the foundation be shared with this committee so that we in the future can do a more adequate job overseeing the audit process.
Jamie,
that's
for the stack.
This is Grace.
Okay, thank you. Jamie, then Grace.
Okay. I might have similar things to say to Grace because we've both been on the audit committee for a while. So the last auditor that we had said that he would not do the pension audit. That was out of his area of expertise. And we were referred to several different auditing firms that specialize in pensions. We as an audit committee do have access to that information. It's just that hasn't come up for us yet. I'm going to defer to Grace.
Thank you, Jamie. Grace, go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I'm on the pension plan committee, and it's a long process of sorting out the pension plans. And the reason for the difficulty is that all of the mistakes, there are mistakes, even in very small dollar amounts, but we have people who have these pensions. So some of the information goes back to 1999, 1998, and some of the information was missing. For instance, the name and address, contact information from somebody who's no longer employed by Pacifica, who was employed, let's say, between 2001 and 2003, and there's no information about what station they were even employed with or what other unit. So it's been a real puzzle to get all that information gathered. Very, very difficult because our records, especially for those prior years, were poor. So this forensic hunting for information has basically been completed. And now it's just a matter of gathering it together and also working with the Department of Labor. We have a labor lawyer who's working with the Department of Labor on this. And I believe that all the stations have paid everything they owe to the pension plans, with maybe the possibility that about $30,000 is still owed by KPFK. I'm not sure of the number exactly. Maybe George Walter can tell us if there's any money owed by any station to pension plans. But the pension plan mess is just about resolved, and I believe the pension plan audit will probably be completed very shortly. But I will make sure that a written report is on the pension plans situation is gotten to this committee as soon as I can.
So, Grace, are you seconding my motion?
Sure. There's no second is needed in committees.
In that case, can this be included in the written record of the meeting that we agree that this report will be provided to the audit committee?
Do that again?
Can we agree that this written report of the pension plan audit will be provided to the audit committee?
Yes. Yes, the report, yes.
This is Donald Fistack.
Okay. I just like, if George Walter can verify the veracity of what I said, if he's still on the call?
Yes. And I'm not intimate with that. We do have a meeting scheduled in July, and we're getting an update. But several of these liabilities have been paid. I think it might be down to about $50,000 from one station that they're sorting out, and then the I don't know the state of the 5500s, and that's where the penalties and assessments would come in. But that should all that's in the process of getting cleared, and I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Thank you, George.
Donald,
this is Donald.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
It's on page 26. It references management's plans that are intended to mitigate the conditions, blah, blah, blah. In the following paragraph, it says, management continues to formulate plans and programs to enhance the financial condition foundation, including cutting measures, revenue enhancement strategies, the sale of certain properties to provide sufficient cash flows to properly service the debt. Is management prepared to articulate here the details of any of that?
That would be Maxie, I think, who would have provided those plans or written this up. Maxie, are you still here? Would you like to respond? I don't think Maxie is still on the call.
That's unfortunate.
But we can certainly follow up with Maxie.
Chair, there's still a motion on the floor.
Yeah, I think we had already agreed that we were going to provide information on the pension plans and the progress thereof.
I would like to make a formal any objections?
Okay. Can you write out or tell us your exact motion again?
I can spell it out right now very simply. The pension plan subcommittee provide audit committee with the latest documents pertaining to the pension plan audit.
Pertaining to the pension plan,
audit.
Plural.
Right, because there are several years.
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering about latest documents or if you'd want latest information. Cause
I'm
not sure.
I would not think a report. A report suffices. I would like all of us to see the actual documents from the auditors, as in the financial statements, whatever is related to. And if it has to be shared in a closed session, that is not a problem, as long as it is shared. Because
I understand.
You understand. So just like I said, you know, the way I phrased it, that's the motion.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I'm just wondering, and I'm not sure if the documents are in condition to make any sense, you know, for them to be, if there is enough finalized stuff, but I'm sure. Okay.
I would say the documents available to Pacifica Foundation that have been shared with the auditors for the pension plans.
Okay, I guess the pension plan subcommittee will figure out what to provide. I only have a vague notion, so I should stop talking about that. That is your motion. Are there any objections to this motion? Hearing
Jamie,
objections?
For the spot. I'm going to object.
Okay.
I would want to see the summary report. I do not want to get bogged down in all the details of having to analyze this pension situation. So that's why I object. I don't think it's necessary for us to get bogged down in the details. I understand.
Okay.
I don't know what the purpose is.
Thank you, Jamie. Noted.
I think that a report is sufficient. A summary report.
Paulina,
I would like to point out, I have a point of order. We are off topic. We can certainly come back to this, but I think we need to get back to the 2017 audit. So I would like to, to defer this? I'm not sure what the right terminology is. Can I do that as the chair?
Paulina, to the stack, please.
Go ahead, Paulina.
The reason why this is not off topic is because this is a basis, one of the main reasons for the basis of the disclaimer of opinion that we have just heard from our auditors, and it's important that the audit committee understand in full what is going on with the pension plan, because this is literally what it has been is holding us up and is preventing us from having an unqualified or a qualified audit, a better audit opinion, and so that is why this is pertinent. I thought I had made that clear. So the if we can go to a vote, please. So folks who don't want to read this stuff, they don't have to. So they're not going to be bogged down with anything. But folks who do want to have this information at hand,
let's take it to a vote. Okay, thank you, Paulina. Anybody else before we take this to a vote? Okay,
Eileen,
just make a note. Yes.
The wording of all documents available to Pacifica Foundation it sounds very broad and voluminous, and most of these documents, if you're asking for all, have private information, socials, and incomes of individuals, and so you might want to refine the wording enough. It would take a lot of time to redact private information before that's spread around to the committee. Perhaps the pension plan subcommittee can just share their reports, and there's enough overlap here that that should be pretty easy to do.
I would agree with that. I would amend my own motion, but to make sure that these are not just the summaries from people on that subcommittee, but rather actual documents that have been shared with auditors, as long as...
Yes, Paulina?
Yeah.
We will make sure that that everything has its foundation, that it's backed up by, you know, the work that's being done by auditors and other professionals of the different groups, the lawyers, et cetera. I think it makes, I would like to say it makes more sense to give a report that summarizes everything, and then people can dive more deeply into the points they feel need more clarification.
And also, just to clarify, this is not to share with the general public and violate the privacy of those folks who
Understood.
Are involved in this.
Understood.
Case, right?
Understood.
I don't see why the problem, why anything should be redacted.
Because it's got people's names in it.
Right, but it would not be shared with the wider public, just with the people that are working on this committee.
Yes, okay, I'm going to cut you off again because we really need to finish this up. It's 11 o'clock here on the East Coast, and we need to move forward. So
can we move Adrian to the step?
Adrian, go ahead.
Can we just move to table this?
I want to clarify, is table, does that mean it's postponed?
This is Grace for the stack. It does not. Sorry. Can I...
Are you clarifying, Grace?
Yes. The proper
Grace,
motion would
clarify?
Be, yes. The proper motion would be a motion to postpone to a later meeting.
Oh, yeah, okay. Thank you.
Is that what you meant, Adrian?
It is. It is. Thank you, Grace. I appreciate you clarifying that. Just to postpone it.
Okay. All right. I'm not so good at these... the order of motions. I guess first we have to treat the motion to postpone. Is that right? And then get back to Paulina's amended motion? Or do we
I think that's how it works.
Or do we just postpone it now and then get back to it whenever the date we postpone it to comes up? Sorry about these nice
Great
things
to be-
that I'm not...
Grace would be best to answer
Grace,
that. Grace.
I think I can resolve that.
Go ahead, Grace. Please.
Okay. There can be a motion to postpone amendments and the main motion to a later meeting.
Okay. Does somebody want to
so
make that
the
motion?
Then the whole
bowl
of wax would be postponed. Let's say till the next
okay.
meeting. That would be
all right. Does somebody want to make that motion?
I do, yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, Adrian moves to postpone. Alina's motion to obtain information on pension plan audits until the next meeting.
Yes.
Does that work? Okay, that's what I've got written down. Is there any objection to this movement, this motion to postpone?
Yes, Paulina.
Okay, then we'll take a vote. Okay, hang on, let me get organized here. Motion to postpone. All right. All right. I don't think, did Darlene Pagano ever join us? I don't believe so. Donald Goldmacher? Do you vote to postpone? Donald? Okay, I'll move on. James McFadden.
Yeah, let's postpone this.
Yes, okay. Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Okay. Jamie Gomez?
Yes.
Paulina? That's you? Yes, that's a no.
No, yeah.
Okay. Adrienne Laviolette?
Yes.
Okay. Elaine Duncan is not here. Eugene Hammond? Is Eugene still with us? Maybe he's not on the call anymore. Okay. Marilyn Botani?
Postpone.
Yes. Okay. Sean Rhodes? Sean here?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I vote yes. Julie Hewitt?
Yes, as much as I agree with Paulina, yes.
Okay. Micheline Milligan?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Who don't I have? Gary Bost, I believe, is not on the meeting. Darlene Pagano, not on the meeting. Donald, I didn't hear you. Are you still with us?
Yes, I am here, and I vote to postpone, and I have an email from Darlene Pagano.
I'm sorry, you have what from Darlene?
Postpone as well.
Well, she's not on the on this call, is she? I don't have her registered as present, so I can't.
Emailing me as we speak.
She's on the call. She just can't be heard. Something wrong with her phone.
Oh, well, I didn't even know she was here. Okay, either way, it's not going to change things because I believe the yeses will have it. Elaine Duncan is not here. Eugene Hammond is no longer here. Okay, so
I have the result. It's
one no.
It's one no and 10 yeses, so the motion carries.
Okay. All right, thank you. Let's move on then. I
could
think
I,
I've lost track a little
could
bit.
Could I get on the stack for a moment?
Sorry, who is that?
Marilyn.
Marilyn, go ahead, please.
Yes, I just want to chime in on the point that was raised. I don't remember who the speaker was before on this item on under footnote 13, where management plans are intended to mitigate the conditions and so on. I see.
Okay,
I'd like to know.
Question?
Yes, I would like us to find out from Maxie. Revenue enhancement strategies, including the sale of certain properties to provide sufficient cash flow to service the debt. That's an important question because under the terms of the loan, we are not allowed to sell properties. Well, properties that we have are the collateral to repay the loan. Moreover, I believe we have to have the permission of the donor in order to do that. So
okay.
I'd be curious to know from Maxie what properties he plans to sell.
Okay, thank you. Collateral. Okay, in any case, let me ask the auditors. This part of the audit that was written by management, does that obligate us to anything? In other words, if it turns out that some of what management proposes here is either undoable or will be changed or is for some other reason not what it should be, does that affect our audit at all?
This footnote is fairly fluid. I mean, what we ask and where it comes from is that obviously, like we've talked about throughout tonight, you know, you guys have had some financial struggles as represented in these last couple of years that are being shown in these statements. So, you know, as we, the auditors, are kind of drawing attention to that via our opinion and this emphasis the matter that I alluded to, this footnote is essentially Pacifica's opportunity to kind of say, okay, we acknowledge this, we're aware of this. These are some of the things that we are planning, discussing, going to implement. I mean, it's really just this is kind of our this is what's in our wheelhouse that we are going to try out to try to improve the situation so that we are able to be a viable entity 12 months from now and hopefully beyond. So none of this is necessarily set in stone. It's just obviously in the way I look at it and evaluate it is, do these sound like reasonable plans? Are these really far-fetched? You know, if it was something like we're going to buy lottery tickets until we hit it big, then as an auditor, and I'm clearly exaggerating with that, but as an auditor, then I would probably say, no, that doesn't really sound like a viable plan. So I think some of the things that Maxi has included in this footnote, you know, all sound like reasonable efforts that similar organizations would use or implement or explore if they were in your situation. So I feel like maybe from some of the comments, maybe you guys are a little concerned that this is kind of committing you to something that maybe you guys aren't 100% comfortable with. This is merely just talking about the options and things that, like I said, management's exploring to improve the situation. Nothing is set in stone.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Do we feel like we could sign off on this draft and send it to the PNB for final approval and signing?
Question?
Or do we need to leave that for another date? Go ahead, Marilyn.
I just want to say, is it possible to vote with hesitations? Because I don't want to vote for something that calls us a failing to be a going concern. I think that sabotages our us, but I don't want to hold up the audit because I know the audits are vital. So could you approve with reservations or something like that?
I don't think so, because what we're voting for is for the PNB to re-accept it and recommend that the PNB finalize it and send it off to the places it needs to be sent off.
McFadden's
so I
back.
Think, I'm sorry, who was that? Who was that to the staff?
McFadden.
Oh, okay. All right. James, go ahead. Is it on this topic?
Yes. It seems like what we're really voting on is whether there's errors that we disagree with in the audit report. You know, and I don't know if people want to study it more or not. That we've just had it explained to us, unless everybody's read it and is familiar with all the details, people may want to now, in light of having it explained, you know, and gone over with us, we might want to take one look at it and then make a vote. After we reviewed it, but, you know, for many people, there still seems to be some confusions about some of the details. But I think we're just voting on, you know, on whether there's any factual errors in it, and there's not much else. You can vote, you know. If there was a real problem with the auditing, because they didn't have something, then we might want to not forward it. But I think we just need time to review the material.
This is Grace for the SAC.
Thank you. Do you like to be called McFadden rather than James?
Either is fine.
Address you.
Okay. Either is fine.
Okay, McFadden. Grace, go ahead.
Yes, the PNB voted to allow this audit to be a qualified audit to save time. In order to make this an unqualified audit, it would have probably elongated the process of completing this audit quite significantly. So it's not the ideal thing, but for expedience sake and the fact that the 2018 audit will probably show us in a much better light, and the completion of this audit will accelerate progress on the 2018 audit, which should take a much shorter amount of time to complete. That's what the National Board decided to do. So I would like to move that we send this to the National Board for the Thursday meeting, requesting that the National Board accept this audit.
Paulina, I second.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the movement passes. We send this audit to the Pacifica National Board, that we have accepted this audit, and we recommend that they do the same and finalize it on Thursday. Great. And again, we can, I appreciate that too, because then we can be done with this one. And we can return to all of our questions at any time. And, you know, we'll have to go through and see what we all would like to have better explanations of, just for our own understanding for now and going forward. George, I'm going to ask you, the last I heard, we thought we might be able to get fiscal year 2018 done sometime in July. Do you think we're still on target for that, or will that be pushed back a bit?
Well, that's my hope. I'm not able to fully engage in that, but I have knocked down significant chunks of the 18 audit. Notably cash and fixed assets. I've updated that roll forward that we provided. And so I'm hoping for July, but it's the unknowns that might crop up. And once we've got a package significant enough for the auditors, their testing might generate certain questions or changes.
Other questions, of course.
But, yeah, there was significant entry not done in 18 by the prior CFO. So so we've been doing, and Tamara had to drop off the call, the interim CFO.
Yeah.
But she's doing a great job catching up not only 18, but 19 for the three divisions we're doing. So July is my substantial, probably mid-July to toss it to them. The auditors, and then it's a matter of scheduling and field work dates. It's going to be about a year quicker than the last 3 years have been.
Okay.
At any rate.
Great. Thank you, George. Thank you very much.
Sure.
All right. I think we have made our way through the substantive part of our agenda. I don't know if we have any action items other than, well, we've noted that any other new business?
Paulina to the stack with a request for information.
Yeah, go ahead, Paulina.
What is the difference between, so Grace mentioned that the PNB has voted to accept a qualified audit. We have all voted to pass this on to the PNB, which is fine. Now, what's the difference between a qualified audit and a the kind of audit that we've received now? Would that be by any chance an issue? Because it's a different kind of an opinion. I'm blanking here. Sorry.
That's okay, Paulina.
Yeah,
I think we understand your question.
Yeah, you know,
Scott, can you answer that for us?
Thanks.
Sure. When we talked about this several months ago, it was kind of offered up as a practical matter because at that point in time, George's group was still working through cleaning up the trial balance. We knew that the pension plan audit was not coming to a close at that point. So it was discussed in the interest of time, like Carol mentioned, or Grace mentioned, sorry, that we would, as a practical matter, it might be worth just kind of moving forward, because the alternative would be, quite frankly, if we were trying to achieve an unqualified opinion, that would literally mean, one, the audit would be on hold until all of the pension audit was resolved. And, that timeline's been a little bit of a moving timeline for you guys for the last year or more. The other thing that would have been necessary to achieve an unqualified opinion is that someone would have had to spend quite a bit of resources to continue to look for documentation that may or may not exist. And so, I think it was a little bit of a cost benefit. I think it was also under the pretense of trying to move things forward to get caught up with 18 so that, and I think during some of those calls, that's when the conversations were skewed a little more towards, CPB and grants and things like that in the future. I do know that I was very, I did kind of qualify or hedge my comments by saying that we would either be a qualified or possibly a disclaimer, depending on the amount of support that was provided once we got that stuff. So if that wasn't necessarily memorialized in those minutes, but all I can say is, when I haven't done an audit and I haven't completed an audit, I can't tell you what the opinion will be exactly. All I was able to do at that point in time was tell you that you were not in a position to get an unqualified or a clean audit opinion. And then it was up to you as to whether you wanted to move forward with that or if you wanted to spend the time, money, and resources to try to hold out for an unqualified opinion.
Well,
Paulina, please wait a minute. Scott, I think Paulina's question was actually asking if there was a difference between, in the terminology, what's the difference between a qualified audit and the audit having a disclaimer?
As I mentioned at the very beginning, they're very similar, except for the fact that a disclaimer is probably a slightly more egregious in the sense that if we did not have as widespread of issues with documentation, we probably could have been in the scope qualification category, but we didn't talk about the board letter in this call. But I'll refer back to last year's board letter, which I think ours this year echoes a lot of the same things. There are some pretty pervasive material weaknesses as they relate to your internal control environment and particularly your accounting environment. And that is what is driving some of the lack of documentation. Now, on the upside, those are the things that George and NETA are addressing and have been addressing throughout 18 and into 19. But at least as far as 17 was concerned in the timing of things, that wasn't the case. They weren't in there soon enough or able to, they can only do so much. I can't really speak to what 18 would look like. But it sounds like from everything I've heard prior to this call and some of the updates that have been provided with the pension plan audit, it sounds like there is a strong possibility that the pension situation will be resolved in the next couple of months, which could work out very well for the timing of concluding or beginning the 18 audit. So that would be another judgment call that, George Diaz and the team at Rogers would have to make that judgment call in their professional opinion at that point in time. So I can't speak for them. And then, presumably, as I mentioned earlier too, I think one of the things that I would really focus on, and I think that's why
there has been a lot of progress made in the last 12 months. I think having any TA involved in George's team, they're doing a great job. I think having Maxie involved and him being focused on grants and grant applications and CPB into 2019-2020, I think that's a positive step in a positive direction. Just in my involvement in the last 12 months, I think what you're going to see is probably things improving from 17 to 18 to 19. And if that in fact is the case, I think you're going to see the opinions kind of be fine-tuned and tweaked and changed as well. But again, no auditor could or should say what the opinion is going to look like when you haven't done the audit yet. So, but I would say
Thank you.
You guys are queued up to be in that direction.
Okay. And I think to answer Paulina's other question, if the PNB already approved a qualified audit, we will boot it to them, and I'm on the PNB as well, and they can accept it, the disclaimer rather than qualification, or not. And if they don't, well, I believe they will. I'd rather deal with it when we get there, if we get there, which I hope we don't.
I will just say this as just for a point of reference. The financial statements and the financial footnote, those are management. Those are Pacifica's. The actual, so I mean, if we proposed an audit adjustment and you guys didn't agree with it, you don't have to reflect it in the financial statements. But the fact that if that financial audit adjustment that you chose not to make, and I'm talking hypothetically, if that was material, then it could infect our opinion. So just as a point, I know you guys are talking about approving and stuff. The opinion is owned by the audit firm. Even a disclaimer of an opinion, that's the part of all that packet of information that's been sent out that resides with the audit firm. The numbers, the statements, the footnotes, the wording of the footnotes, things like that, that's all within your purview as the audit committee and management of Pacifica to make edits, make suggestions, make changes or whatnot. But the audit opinion if PNB comes back and says, we don't agree with this opinion, I mean, we could certainly have some dialogue about whether, the opinion, if we should consider making it a scope qualification. But, I mean, it's not one of those things where a client's going to say, we don't approve this opinion, we want an unqualified opinion, and then that happens. I mean, then you'd almost put yourself back in that situation I described where you'd have to dig for some more documentation, and you'd have to wait until the pension plan audit was resolved, and then Rogers and Company would have to decide if the documentation was adequate and the outcome of the pension plan audit, so that, they'd have to do some additional steps to determine if they could ultimately be in an unqualified position. So just wanted to point that out there in case that helps.
Thank you.
Eileen, George, to the sec.
Yeah, George, go ahead.
And Scott, thank you for saying that. The opinion is the CPA firm, and we don't control that. We control the underlying financial statements. And I think that this opinion is fine and totally justified. And For those with a discomfort with the going concern, that's been listed on every opinion I've seen for the last 3 years and probably beyond. And there's nothing that any amount of documentation would do to change that. And so that's something we just need to accept until those conditions change. So, and it's also important that we put this 17 audit to bed so that we can get the 18 audit done, or at least in draft stage, so that the tax return can be done for FY18. We run out of extensions on August 15th. So we have to have this
wrapped up enough to do tax returns. So so that's part of the equation that we really just need to get this done and move on. And and there's really nothing that would happen that would change that opinion. Maybe move it from, as Scott said, from disclaimer up a notch. It's still not an unqualified opinion, which is the gold standard. But that's our goal to get there. But we really need to get these done and move forward.
Okay. Thank you, George. Thank you.
Paulina, to talk to you very briefly. Very.
Yes. Paulina, what is it?
Yeah, but the important, that's the thing, the question here at hand is not about the auditor's opinion, it's about what management has presented as possible structural solutions to the going concern issue. And those would be reducing the number of board members on the board, reducing the number of the influence of listenership on decision making. So in
again, Paulina, I'm going to interrupt you.
Absolutely.
I'm going to interrupt you because Note 13 doesn't bind us to anything, and it's just there are no obligations there. They are just suggestions or ideas put forth by management. But management can't just make those happen. So I'd like to say that wouldn't hold up, that shouldn't hold up the approval of the audit.
Well, it's not approved. I mean, but
we may want to take it up with management in a different at a different time, whether as the audit committee or as some other committee or on the PNB.
Marilyn Stack.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Yeah, it's 11:30, after 11:30 here in New York.
Yeah.
I would like to move the agenda. I believe we've accepted, we voted.
Yeah, we're working on that, Marilyn. Thank you. We're trying to get there to finish up this meeting. Thank you. Okay, Paulina, can we discuss that elsewhere and later? I'm sorry, you've been very late.
Absolutely.
Here.
I just wanted to state for the record that I think it's a very important discussion that we have left out because it was not going to influence necessarily the results of the audit or the opinion of the auditors, but I think it really is a very necessary discussion to have as to how to proceed in the future to correct the directions that this foundation should take in order to have to avoid the same problems we've had in the past. But yes, absolutely, I will respect everybody who's on the East Coast, and I am done.
Thank you very much, Paulina. Yeah, we should all think about how and when we'd want to see that discussion taken up or how it should happen. Okay, so we only had one more item on our agenda, which is to select the next meeting date. Shall we say in 2 weeks, which would be June 8th? Because then we could come back to some of these questions we've left pending. July 8th, of course, I'm sorry. Yeah. Or would you like a longer rest from that and wait until, I don't know, until a new draft of 2018 is ready?
Yeah.
Does anybody have any feelings there?
Do we have a reason to meet at this point? I mean,
well, again, we left some questions hanging. We might be able to address them.
Paulina, should
that? People don't think it's important. Yeah, Paulina?
Yes, we are, according to our auditors and to NETA, we're supposed to complete the 2018 audit in the next 2 to 3 months. So I don't see why we should be stopping.
Okay. Let me suggest that we post a meeting for 2 weeks from tonight. And if we find we have absolutely nothing to discuss, we can cancel it. But otherwise, we will proceed.
All right.
Any objections?
Nope.
Did you say the date?
Yeah, July 8th, I believe I said. Yes, July 8th. Okay.
Okay.
And
motion to adjourn.
Request. Oh. Quick request.
I'm sorry. Grace, was that you?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I have a quick request. Quick request.
Yeah.
So, Eileen, is that
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. That you send the audit and the decision of the this committee to the secretary of the PNB. And actually to the whole PNB,
yes.
So it can be on Thursday's agenda, because we're meeting
I'll
today.
Do that tomorrow morning. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Eileen.
Okay.
Eileen, this
is
Adrian.
Adrian. Go ahead, Adrian.
Darlene Pagano says that she has been on the call the entire time, but that no one can hear her, and she wanted someone
to...
Yeah,
I saw that.
There's something funny...
It looks funny on Maestro, and I think that must be her. So we will, I'll talk to Fred about that, and we'll make sure that gets fixed.
I have to leave Maryland, New York. I have to leave. So I don't
We're about to adjourn, Maryland, so that's fine. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Eileen.
Any other? Yes?
Oh. Eileen, George Walter here. Scott, perhaps you mentioned there was another item you wanted to include. Do you and Sandeep want to put together just an updated draft for the National Board to review?
Yes, we can update to include that emphasis to matter in the opinion and the comment about the going concern in the opinion as well. So we can update that tomorrow so that can be sent out and you get a cleaner version for the board.
Okay.
Perfect.
I may call you in the morning to get clarity on that. And we may also ask, we should probably ask at least one of you from Rogers & Company to be on the PNB meeting on Thursday to help explain things, I believe. Grace is the chair. Grace, does that sound like the right thing to do?
Yes. We're having a closed session first on Thursday. And
yeah, that's a problem.
Open session is... Let's see what time. This open session starts at 10 p.m. Eastern time.
All right, let's discuss this tomorrow because I feel a little bad asking people to join us at 10 o'clock. Let's get together
okay.
on this tomorrow. Is that okay? Will somebody
okay,
move to adjourn this meeting? Oh,
no,
I'm sorry.
There's one quick thing I just remembered. We need to schedule, when we meet in 2 weeks, to have a closed session, audit session, to review the management
okay.
letter.
Okay, I'll add that in.
You haven't
okay.
received the management letter yet, have you?
Yes, we all have.
Okay. Sorry.
Yes, that's okay.
Anyway, so we need to review that in closed session. And then
okay, got it.
Or not, and
yeah.
send that to the PNB. But we can do that in 2 weeks. I don't think there's any urgency. That won't hold up the
Correct.
2018 audit or anything. Okay, good.
No. Okay.
Right. I read the management letter, and I don't see any reason for it to be in closed session except for the fact that it is a management letter, which is not supposed to be made public. Am I right?
No, management letter is only a closed session.
It should be closed session.
Right. That's what I'm saying as well. I'm just saying it's not the content
yeah.
of it necessarily, just the format.
Yes, I think that's correct. And, you know, we can find ways to share pertinent information with the rest of Pacifica and or the public, you know, as it seems appropriate, but not at the outset. You know, we can look at it. I'm sorry, I'm a little tired now. Okay, does somebody move to adjourn this meeting?
Yes. So moved.
So moved. The meeting is adjourned at 11:39 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you, Eileen. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Eileen. Thank you, Scott.
We went through a lot of stuff today.
Evening.
Okay.
Thanks, Scott.
Well.